Born in the early 1890s on opposite sides of the Atlantic, we hear this morning about two brilliant and ambitious women. American Dorothy Thompson was the first female head of a European news bureau, a columnist and commentator with a tremendous following, whom Time magazine once ranked alongside Eleanor Roosevelt as the most influential woman in America. Rebecca West, an Englishwoman at home wherever genius was spoken, blazed a trail for herself as a journalist, literary critic, novelist, and historian. In a pre-feminist era when speaking truth to power could get anyone of either gender ostracized, blacklisted, or worse, these two smart, self-made women were among the first to warn the world about the dangers posed by fascism, communism, and appeasement. But there was a price to be paid. Journalist Susan Hertog shows this in her wonderful new book, Dangerous Ambition. It is is a great pleasure to welcome Susan Hertog to the roundtable. Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe, for having me.
Again, the name of the book is Dangerous Ambition, Rebecca West and Dorothy Thompson, New Women in Search of Love and Power. What brought you to the subject of these two women and the decision to pair them?
Well, quite simply, as you said, they were among the most influential female voices of their time, able to and capable of and determined to confront the catastrophe that was occurring as fascism swept through Europe. And they were able to bring it to the forefront and speak truth to power. Either one of these women, the American Dorothy Thompson, the English woman Rebecca West, would have been worthy of her own study. But I think together I chose to bring a snapshot, maybe even a moving picture in those days, of what was happening on both sides of the Atlantic. And also, they had much in common, although they had many distinctions. And by pairing them together, I could highlight exactly what those were in both American society as they lived and in British society.
And that's what I really like about the book, is that you put these two women in context. What is the challenge of that? What is it important for people to know to contextualize the friendship and the personalities of these two women?
Well, I think the first thing you have to know is that in the 1930s, at least according to American polls, most Americans believe that more than most, 80% of Americans believe that women should not have jobs outside their home. So these women, and even probably more so in the more conservative British society, were bucking the odds. They were just smarter and more capable than anyone around them. And they understood that they had to work harder and faster to break into this almost concrete ceiling of male-dominated journalism and literature. And they were willing to do it. The problem was that they broke the rules. And in the process, were making up their own rules on the fly. And so they had very little understanding of the implications of the choices they made in terms of their relationships with men or their children. And therein lies the danger. Mm. Hopefully today, as institutions have risen to bolster women and as more understanding of feminine ambition and more acceptance of it has come to the fore, women have been able more so to understand and to harness their ambitions and create a balance in their lives. But these women came of age at a catastrophic moment when it's hard for us who were born after World War II to understand that Western civilization, that Western democracy, really hung in the balance with the rise of fascism. And it wasn't only in terms of our rights and our obligations, but actually the rule of law was about to be demolished by these totalitarian regimes. And Dorothy Thompson, for example, in the States, not only backed FDR and helped him come to power in 1940 and 1944, but also she helped to illuminate the fact that this wasn't just Europe's war, that it was America's as well, because all of Western democracy hung in the balance. And Rebecca West was one of these true geniuses. I mean, she was steeped in classical literature and philosophy and history, and she could attack vital issues of the day from all aspects, extrapolate them backwards and forwards in time, and really understand the implications. And in her pre-World War II magnum opus, Black Lamb, Gray Falcon, she does exactly that. She sees Yugoslavia at that point in time as the face of Europe after the Nazi siege, the internecine warfare, the history of conquest and domination. And it's really a call to arms, a 1,200-page call to arms for her countrymen to rise out of their white slumber and confront the issues, confront fascism, even though, of course, they had been so devastated in World War One.
How did they empower one another?
Well, that's a good question. They met in 1921 in England when Dorothy Thompson came to London and said, you know, I mean, she had $150 in her pocket, and she decided she was going to become a foreign correspondent, which was, you know, a pipe dream. But within 5 years, she becomes the first female head of a news bureau in Central Europe, responsible for reporting on nine Central European countries. And she meets Rebecca West, who's already a journalist, a novelist, a literary biographer, a literary critic, and they have an immediate sense of kinship. They realize they were trying to do the same thing at the same time. And within 5 years, they meet again as equals. And they had tremendous commonalities in terms of the contours of their lives. Rebecca West had this long-time relationship with H.G. Wells and Dorothy Thompson with Sinclair Lewis. So they had this relationship with these literary icons. They were rock stars, so to speak. And each one of these relationships bred a son. And these sons were very troubled. They were angry. They felt abandoned. They felt not quite able to live up to the expectations of their parents.
Because the work came first for them, correct?
The work came first. And they almost had this historical sense of mission. Dorothy Thompson's comes from her fundamentalist Methodist background, she felt she was almost divinely ordained to become a journalist and to grapple and with the issues today and to perfect human life on Earth, whereas Rebecca West was just, she was brilliant. I mean, not to do it would have been tantamount to suicide. And so they had to do what they had to do. And even though they were, they wanted relationships, they had no role models. They were either rejected or abandoned by their parents because they didn't understand them. So they were hungry for love, but unable to love. And both their men and their children really are victims of their ambition. They are as well. They, even though they lived their professional lives, were extraordinary and successful. They had this tremendous emptiness inside in terms of what they couldn't achieve on a human level.
Who was their audience? They had a lack of role models, but they who did they serve as role models for?
Well, when Dorothy Thompson was hired by Helen Ogden Reed in for her columns in the New York Herald Tribune, she hired her because she thought she would be a teacher to women. And women really were just parroting their husband's views. And Dorothy Thompson had no interest in just speaking to women. She was going to tackle everything. And within time, I mean, these 8 to 10 million readers a day, three times a week, were equally men and women. And the fact that she was the daughter of a Methodist fundamentalist really gave her a sense of right and wrong. There was a moral core to her writing. And as a result, especially at that point in time when, the world was in potential chaos, it was exactly what people needed. And Rebecca West, too, I mean, was tremendously influential. Black Lamb, Grey Falcon, was not only read by ordinary Brits and Americans, but also by public officials. And she influenced the debate beyond her, in ways that she could not even have anticipated. And later on as well, Rebecca West developed this genre of attacking problems. And in her articles for the New Yorker magazine on Nuremberg and on treason, she puts all of this in perspective in terms of moral terms. Her work almost reads like morality plays.
Right. It's a fascinating book. It is Dangerous Ambition. It is published by Ballantine. Susan Hertog, I apologize that we're out of time, but I thank you very much, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.